Okay, good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, we're on the bottom of page 5, volume 16, 8-16-1923. Now Jesus speaks, "My glory, that is my own glory, which I receive through the work of the creature who does my divine will." You hear what Jesus is saying? My glory is my own glory, which I receive through the work of these little children of the holy divine will who want to live in my most holy divine will. Think about that. Jesus breathed in my breathing. Jesus says, that's my glory. Jesus beat in my heart beating. That's God's glory. It is a glory which descends from heaven and rises again straight at the foot of my throne, multiplied by the divine will, which has been exercised by the soul, by the creature. Jesus breathed in my breathing. Jesus walked in my walking. Jesus driving in my driving. Jesus, I want you to receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that you got so rightly deserved in this act. And Jesus says, this is my glory. See what God is doing? He's sharing with us his glory by allowing us to give back to him his glory. So when the creature operates to do my divine will by giving her my own divine will, I then unite to that work my divine sanctity, my divine power, my divine wisdom, my divine beauty of my works, an incalculable and infinite value. I could say that these fruits are of my lands, my works, my celestial kingdom, my glory of my family, and of my legitimate children. Oh, so how could they not be pleasing to me? You see what Jesus is saying? We are his legitimate children. Why? We're doing the will of God and now wanting to live in the will of God. You see why God loves us so much? Think about this. If you have the book of heaven, it's because of the love of God. Infinite love of God. Like he says, infinite sanctity, infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite beauty of my works that I have given to my legitimate children. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. He says, I want to divinize my children. You see what God is calling us to? All our life, we've tried to be good and holy and saintly, and we failed. And he says, okay, I'm going to do this now. I have more confidence in the divine will than trying to be good and holy and saintly. Jesus is going to do this. Jesus can breathe in my breathing. Jesus can be in my heart beating. Jesus can walk in my walk. To see the communion that's happening here. He loves us so much that he calls us his legitimate children. How could I not feel the enrapturing power of my supreme will in those works of my little children who works only to do my divine will? And that's what we're trying to do. We're focused on this gift to give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that he as God so rightly deserves by his children. So we stand in the place of everyone. And we say, I want to breathe, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. I want to breathe in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. I want to allow you, Lord, to breathe in every soul as if every soul was allowing you to do this. See, everything's being prepared. Everything's being redone. And who's he using? He's using us. We're nobody. We're nothing. And that's what he wants to use. Nothing. So we allow him to speak to us through the writings of the Risa to what? He says this, He says, how could I not feel the enrapturing power of my supreme will in the works of the little children of the holy divine will, who works only to do and to live in my divine will? Oh, if everyone knew the good of my divine will, they would not let themselves be deceived by their own human will. See, that's going to come to an end. We're going to use our free will to choose. I do not want my human will in charge. What is your human will? Do you want to know what your human will is? Every time you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I said. This is what I thought. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. That's our human will. Jesus says, I don't want you to live like this anymore. I want you to live in my most fully divine will. Divine power, divine strength, divine glory. I don't want you to continue to live in a miserable human life. You see why there's such joy in the divine will? We're saying to Jesus, I don't want this misery anymore. Oh, if all knew the good that my divine will possesses, they would not let themselves be deceived by their own human will. Mark 16:10-20-23. My daughter, why do you afflict yourself so much? Abandon yourself in me and let me do. I love that when he says that. Let me do. Write that, put that on your mirror in your bathroom. Let me do. I want to do this. And when it seems that you, that everything declines, everything dies, Jesus shall make everything rise again, but more beautiful and more fecund. Everything's, you see what God is doing? You worry about your family. You worry about your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners. You worry about your health. You worry about your finances. Jesus says, let it go. Watch what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to let it rise again, but more beautiful and more becoming. Trust me. You're worried. He says, do you worry? He says, does worry have one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then he says to his disciples, stop worrying. That's what he's saying to us. Everything's falling apart? Good. We have to learn how to say that. Instead of, you know, somebody pulling in front of us and we giving them the Italian salute, you know, you say, good. God is in charge. He's testing me. Be on. See, it's not to respond human. And again, that's what he's training us to do. You're going to fail, but he's training us. He's training us. He's saying, look, be peaceful. Be joyful. Be happy. Trust me. Believe in me. Have confidence in me. Watch what I'm going to do. And then he says, you are my legitimate children. I'm going to take care of you. You have to believe what Jesus is saying. Volume 16:10-20-23. My daughter, he says, you read this, okay. Volume 16:12-26-23. My daughter, for the one who does my divine will, it is always Christmas. One of the things that you begin to do is you begin to have a nativity scene in your house all year long. Every day is Christmas. Those who want to live in the divine will, every day is Christmas. As the soul enters my divine will, I am God, conceived in her act. As she performs her act, I am developing my life. As she completes it, I rise again, and the soul remains conceived in me. So you see what's happening? Develop her life in mine and rises again in my own act. See then how Christmas holidays are for those who once a year prepare and place themselves in my grace so they feel something new about my birth within them. But for the one who lives in my divine will and does my divine will, it is always Christmas. I am born again in each one of her acts. So would you want me to be born in you once a year? No. For the one who lives in my divine will, does my divine will, my birth, my life, my death, my resurrection must be a continuous act which is never interrupted. Otherwise, you would be the difference, the immeasurable distance from the other sanctities. What would be, the difference in the immeasurable distance from the other sanctities? Therefore, my daughter, newborn of my eternal will, take a look at what your Jesus calls you, Louisa, and watch you, Louisa, under the press of my divine will, so that your human will may receive continuous death just as my human will did. Otherwise, I could not make a new era arise in which my divine will shall come to reign upon earth to take the continuous acts, pains, deaths, in order to snatch from heaven the theopolitas. See, that's what's coming. Jesus is preparing us for the new era. Jesus is preparing us. And he says, the way this is going to be done is the way I went through it. And he calls it the press of my divine will. Now, if you've ever made wine, you know, the last part of the wine is the, when you press the seeds, when the grape crusher comes down, you've crushed all the grapes, you've crushed everything, now you're crushing the seeds, what comes out is the grappa. It'll knock your socks off. That's what God, he's waiting for the best. That's us. He's crushing us under the press of the divine will. Why? To receive the best, the most powerful. God, you see, we're at the end, but you have to understand what Our Lady said in 71 years ago. She said to Bruno, time is now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era where the devil reigns. His time is over. The kingdom is coming. So what is he doing? As you step on a snake's head, what does the snake do? The snake goes, it wraps its, torso all around you. It's moving all around. That's what's happening in the world today. Our Lady is crushing his head. You have to understand this. He is the one that's in torture. And everything about him is going to be crushed. So what does God do? He says to Louisa in Volume 15, he says, Louisa, like my mother, you are now going to put the final kaput on his head. So what does God do? He makes Italy look like a boot, and he puts Corrado over the heel. Every time the devil looks at the earth and sees Italy, he shakes. He sees the heel. He sees Louisa. See, now, in our life, the same thing happens. When we're one with Louisa, we also crush the head of Lucifer. Like Mary, like Mom Mary. This is our challenge, to put an end of evil. So what is God asking of us? Be careful living. Be careful. Begin to live this life abundantly. And he says, the crowning of my church is this gift of the divine will. Why is he giving it to us? So we can have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is given to Louisa, to what? To extinguish the evil. It's going to be gone. See, the devil is going to be not just humiliated by the mother of God, Theotokos, but by all the little children of the divine will. We're going to have nothing to do with him. We're already doing that in our own lives. That which is of the evil one, you don't want anything to do. So what's happening is we're seeing what God is playing. And what does he say? He says what's coming is the new era. It's coming. It's already begun with Louisa and the souls who are striving to live in the divine will. Volume 16, 2:8-24. And therefore, just as all enjoy the Son, being inundated by its light, because it has been created by God for the good of everyone, in the same way, all the benefits of all the acts done by the little daughter by divine will and the little children linked to Louisa, which more than Son dart through everyone and everything, so the Son of the eternal volition may rise again with that purpose for which generations were created. Everything that God had planned is going to take place. Everything's going to be restored. We're going back to paradise. Therefore, do not get lost within the crowd of your miseries, of your objection, or of self-reflections, but think only about your office of the little one of our divine will. Be attentive in fulfilling your mission. That's for us too. Think of the office that God is giving you. You are one of the little children of the Holy Spirit, linked to Louisa. Be attentive. What does that mean? Read. Study this. Know what this is about. Fulfill your mission. Why are you alive today? It's to help bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. 5:16, 2:10, 24. You see how necessary it is to make them understand that complete abandonment is needed in order to live in my divine will. Complete abandonment. What does that mean? God alone is our life. God alone. Things happen around us, Jesus, I trust you. Things happen around us, Jesus, I am confident in you. Things happen around us, we're abandoned to all that, all the misery. It has nothing to do with us. When we see something happening that's awful, Jesus, I am sorry this is happening. I want to repair this. I really do this as if this never occurred. This is the fulfillment of the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Everything's being repaired. Something happens in our family. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. I want to repair this as if it never, ever happened. Complete abandonment. This is what's needed in order to live in my divine will. We don't worry. We're not fearful. We're not anxious. We're not complaining. We're not negative. That's what God is trying to teach us. Our human will is very strong. And Jesus is saying, that has to be put to rest. Abandon. Abandon. Live the life of peace, joy, and happiness. And you say it is not necessary to write about it. This is Louisa. Louisa is saying, I don't want to write this. Why? Not that she didn't want to write it. She did not want to let anyone know her intimacy with Jesus. He says, this is just between you and me, Jesus. I don't want anybody to know about this. That's her humility. I feel compassion for you because you do not see what I, God, see. And that's why you take it lightly. Instead, in my all-seeingness, I see, listen to this. I see that these writings shall be for my church as a new sun which shall rise in her midst, and men, attracted by its radiant light, shall strive to transform themselves into this light to become spiritualized and divinized. Therefore, renewing the church, they shall transform the face of the earth. That is the most important thing today. What Jesus says, well, this is what we do too. I have the writings. I don't want to read today. He says, don't you understand what I see in my all-seeingness? I see that these writings shall be for my church as a new sun which will rise in our midst, and men, attracted by its radiant light, shall strive to transform themselves into this light to become spiritualized and divinized. This isn't about being good. It's not about being holy. It's about being spiritualized and divinized. Why? To renew the church. Why? To transform the face of the earth. That's our mission. How is it going to be done? Are you standing at a street corner telling people about this? No. It's by reading. As it becomes alive in you, this sun is going to rise in us. And it's going, by its radiant light, transform us into this light. The light of Jesus on Mount Tabor. The light of Our Lady Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. The new Adam and the new Eve. This divine light, it's not a halo like the saints. It's not a nimbus around their head. It's divine light which will spiritualize and divinize us. And what is it going to do? It's going to renew the church, and there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. and it will transform the face of the earth. Jesus has saved the best for last. Jesus is asking us to be the ones to do this. He didn't ask St. Francis to do this. He didn't ask St. Thomas Aquinas to do this. He asked us to do this. How do you know? We have Luisa. Who is this Luisa Nicaretta that God has given to us? That's what? It's going to transform us into this divine light. That's going to spiritualize and deepenize us. Why? To renew the church and transform the face of the earth. You see why we're alive today? It's not standing on a street corner. It's to go to your room, close the door, and pray. Jesus wants this done. This is going to happen. It's going to happen. And he says, it's going to happen with you or without you. If it's with you, you are going to be filled with joy. He wants to do this with us. He's chosen, he's predestined us to live at this time. Again, our Lord loves us very, very much. Our Lord wants us to possess this gift. Now this next part is very important too. This is pivotal for us to understand. Now, as he was saying this, he showed me a table in the midst of the church. Listen to this. And all the writings of the divine will were placed on it. And many venerable people surrounded that table and were transformed into light and divinized. And as they walked, they communicated that divine light to whoever they encountered. Now think about this. They're not speaking. As they walked, they communicated this light. See, it's not voice. It's not what you say. It's Jesus. Where Jesus was, everything changed. The table in the midst of the church, with all the divine light placed on it, is each one of our homes. The venerable people are the ones who venerate these writings. That's us. They surrounded that table that's in our homes. We were transformed into light and divinized. That's us. You have to understand what Jesus is saying. As you walk, you will communicate that to light to whoever you encounter. Like I said before, when you're with your family, celebrations. If you're living in the divine world, Jesus is there. Your family is peaceful. Your family is joyful. Your family is happy. Why? Jesus is there. How can Jesus be there? He's with the little children of the Holy Divine Will. The peace that is there is Jesus' peace. The joy that is there is Jesus' joy. He's the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. He says, I give you my joy that your joy may be complete. The happiness that is there is the kingdom reigning in us. Your family is peaceful if Jesus is there. Your family is being healed if Jesus is there. You have to understand what Jesus is saying. He wants us to understand that these venerable people are the ones that venerate the writings. Again, these are not ordinary writings. They're not just off the cuff. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God, dictated these words to Luisa, and as we read them, we are the ones that are being transformed into light. We are the ones that are being spiritualized and divinized as we read. As we're near them, you see what's happening? These are so blessed that they had to be locked up for 58 years. And once they were released, Jesus says, this is what Jesus says, once these writings are released, the whole world will be transformed. That's what's happening. Do you think everything that's falling apart is by chance? No. It's the devil. He's losing his grip on everything. Those in the church, those outside the church. Those in the government, those outside the government. Those in your family, those who are not in your family. Everything's falling apart. Good. Good. I came for a division, Jesus said. He's seeing who's on his side and who's not on his side. Good. Let's get this show on the road. And Jesus says, will you do it for them because they can't? And we say, fiat, I'll do this. You see what Jesus is doing? And it's not thousands. He said, it's very, very few. The rest are doing what they want. We're trying to do what Jesus says. And this is what he says. Then Jesus added, Luisa, you will see this great good from heaven. And when the church shall receive the celestial food, which shall strengthen her and make her rise again, that means it's going to fall to her full triumph. It says the gates of hell will not prevail, which means the gates of hell are going to come against the church. Full force. It's going to drop it to her knees. But Jesus says it'll rise again. You have to understand, we are living in the most exciting times ever in the history of the church, history of the world. How do I know this? Because of Luisa. Who is this Luisa Picaretta? That God is saying these tremendous things about her and about the kingdom and about his legal children. Holy cow. This is wonderful. This is magnificent. And so we're alive today for this reason. We're alive today because Jesus says, I'm going to use you, you nothings. He said that to Luisa. He says, Luisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. I am God, and I'm using you. I am God, he says, and I'm making you the little one. And the littler you are, the more I can use you. He says the same thing to us. We're nothing. We're ignored, we're ridiculed, we're spit upon, we're laughed at, we're mocked. Good. Jesus went through that. You wear your scapular, you pray your rosary, people mock you. You go to confession, people mock you. Good. We have everything at our disposal. And now what God has done is he's given us the gift of gifts. 5:16, 3:19-24. So I said to Jesus, my love, it does not seem real to me that I could multiply your life and give you, God, the great honor, as of many divine lives. And then, Jesus, you are everywhere. Therefore, it is by virtue of yourself that this life arises in every act, and not because of me. I remain always the little child who is good at nothing. And Jesus says, my little daughter, Luisa, what you say is true. I am everywhere. But it is my power, immensity, and all seeingness that allows me, triune God, to be everywhere. But it is not the love and the action of the creature in my divine will to make me be everywhere and to multiply me. But when the soul enters my divine will, it is her love, it is her acts that, being filled with divine virtue, make my life arise according to how her acts are more or less extended and done. And this is the reason for my feast, in seeing that the creature takes on my own and gives me my love in return, my glory in return, and my very life. My contentment is so great that the creature cannot comprehend it while she lives in exile, but she shall comprehend it in the celestial fatherland when she sees herself repaid with as many divine lives for as many as she has formed upon earth. So Jesus says to us, trust me. You're not going to see anything here. But I'm going to take care of it in heaven. Trust me. So we say, okay, I want to make my rounds today. And if you haven't prayed the rounds yet, you're going to love the rounds. They're so powerful. Why are the rounds so powerful? Because Jesus says, this is how I pray. This is how my mother prayed. This is how Adam prayed before the fall. I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. And this is to pray the way Jesus prayed. What we've done for the last 2,000 years is really pray the prayers of the saints. For the last 6,000 years, basically, we've prayed the prayers of the holy people of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now Jesus says, I want you to pray the way I pray. That's why our lady said, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. You know, this is what's coming. Again, the command prayer is we get a glimpse of the command prayer with Peter in the boat. The boat's turning, in the water, and it's water splashing all over the place, and the boat is tumbling in the water. He sees Jesus walking on the water, and he says, Lord, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. So he says, take my prayer and make it your command. God says, come. That prayer of Peter becomes God's command. Peter walks on the water. Peter does a divine thing. No human can walk on the water. And then he becomes afraid and he starts sinking. And cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Jesus grabs him. He didn't say, great job, Peter. You walked 20 feet and you sank. He says, why did you fail? Why did you falter? What's wrong with you? Where is your faith? Jesus was upset with him. God wants us to do divine things. Same with Philip. He said to Philip, well, we can't feed these people with even 200 days' wages. We can't feed all these people. Jesus says, get out of my way. How many two do they have? We have a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. Bring them to me. God did. Jesus is now saying, I'm going to show you how to do this because I'm going to do it in you. No human can do a divine thing. We, in the divine world, can't do a divine thing. We say to Jesus, you reign in me, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, watch what God does. It's a new beginning that's coming. So Jesus says, okay, where did we leave off? 16:3, 19:24? Right at the very top there. So I said to him, my love, next paragraph, okay. And Jesus said, my daughter, what's your name?
April
5:13:44. Okay. But when the soul enters by divine will?
Therefore.
The next section.
The next section, okay. I'm sorry. I'm reading through paragraph 3. Okay. 16. 5:16, 5:13, 24?
Yes.
All right, great, thanks. Therefore, the accord of the human will with the divine is the first link. Oh, this is so great. The accord with Luisa, with the divine, is the first link of connection between God and the soul. And from it, the divine virtues descend into Luisa, as within a channel, producing her in Luisa true adoration, perfect love for God. And rising from within that same channel of connection, Luisa receives different shades of the divine qualities. Of divine qualities, not human. See, that's what's going to happen to us. The more we link ourselves with Luisa, the more we're going to receive different shades of divine qualities. God's qualities. And every time the soul rises in order to dive into this eternal will, Luisa is embellished by and acquires as many more varieties of divine beauty. You see what God is doing? He's saying, I love this generation so much that I'm willing to give this generation Luisa so that they can also receive divine beauty, divine qualities. This is so wonderful. This is so magnificent that our God is doing this for us. Volume 17, June, I think it's just a repetition, June 1924. Well, with my divine will alone, which is origin, means that the soul places herself in safety. She rises to divine sanctity. See what's happening? Divine sanctity. She reaches a complete manner, the purpose for which she was created. And there's no shadow of danger that she might offend me. Do you see what God is doing? This is the life of Mary. This is the life of Jesus. And he's offering this to us. Jesus lived in the divine will. Mary lived in the divine will. So this is what they did to Louisa. The soul places herself in safety. Louisa arises to divine sanctity. Louisa reaches a complete manner, the purpose for which she was created. And there's no shadow of danger that she may offend me. Therefore, the safest way is only my most holy divine will. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. The very sacraments, if they are not received in order with my divine will, can serve as a means of condemnation and of ruin. So if you receive the sacraments in the state of sin, you're condemning yourself. This is why I inculcate my divine will so much, he says very, very clearly, because the soul in her origin, the means shall be favorable to her, and she shall receive the fruits which they contain. Jesus said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply. Now it's happening. The souls who live in the divine will, who want to live in the divine will, are receiving Holy Communion in a different manner. See, when we receive Holy Communion, Jesus teaches Louisa to receive as he received in the Last Supper. So when I receive Holy Communion, I pray every day, may I receive you as you received yourself at the Last Supper, in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future, as if all mankind was receiving Jesus worthily. Why? So that you can receive all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that you, God, so rightly deserve. And I pray mostly for the souls who, as Jesus says, must live in the divine will. My intention every day of Holy Mass is for everyone and for everything, but concentrating mostly on the souls who must live in the divine will. That's us. God has such plans that he wants to fill us with divinity. Listen to what he says. On the other hand, without this divine will, the sacraments themselves may be poison to her, leading to eternal death. We want eternal life for everyone and for everything. We want to repair and redo everyone, past, present, and future. 5:17:10-24. Daughter of our eternal will, prostrate yourself before our supreme majesty and offer your adorations, your homages, your praises in the name of every human being, past, present, and future, with the power of our divine will, with the wisdom of our divine will, with the will of our supreme love, the power, the wisdom, and love of God. In this way, we, triumph God, shall feel in you, Louisa, and the little children linked to Louisa, the power of our divine will adoring us, the wisdom of our divine will glorifying us, the love of our will loving us and praising us, and since the power, the wisdom of love of the three divine persons are in communication with the intellect, the memory, and the will, the three powers of man, of all souls, past, present, and future, we, triumph God, feel your adoration, your homages, your praises flow within all the intelligences of creatures which, rising between heaven and earth, shall make us, triumph God, hear the divine echo of our own divine power, own divine wisdom, own divine love, adoring us, praising us, loving us, as God adores, loves, and praises himself. This isn't about being good. It's about sharing in divinity. You see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, I want to give you more. I want to give you more than you could ever imagine. And all that I ask is that you say, amen. All that I ask you to say, let it be done to me as you say. Echoing the blessed moment. And when we say, I want this because you want me to have this. God says, good. Watch what I will do. But if we say, it's not going to happen to me, God says, that's right. It can't happen to you. You've already said no. God looks for fiat. God looks for the yes. When we say, I doubt that's going to happen to me, God says, absolutely, it cannot happen to you. It can't. You've already said no. Well, this is way too much for me. God says, that's right. It's way too much for you. Our response is yes, Lord. Our response is fiat, Lord. Don't doubt what he's saying. Don't limit God. Don't stand at a distance from God. He's got great plans, and the only person that will get in the way is ourselves. The devil can't take this from you. It's your fiat, and God says, great. Watch what I'm going to do. So he says this. How not to enjoy them and not to give them supremacy over all other acts. All the other acts of all the saints combined. Wow. This is just unbelievable. Vine 17, 2:15, 25. Imagine a sea, an ocean, when the waves rise up so powerfully and high, and in their power transports also the fish up high, in such a way that they can be seen within those waves, lifted by the power of the storm, which make them come out of the depths of the sea from their ordinary dwelling to rise up together with the waves. The waves have overwhelmed them and have not been able to resist their power. While, without the power of the stormy waves, they do not know how to go out of their harbor. Oh, if the sea had limitless power, it would make all the water overflow from its boundaries, forming gigantic waves, and all the fish overwhelmed by them would all come out. Now listen to this. When my divine will operates in the soul, also outside of the soul, everything which is contained in the divine will moves and rises, and all the works place themselves in order to repeat for us glory, love, adoration. As they pass before us, as though to pray, saying to us, we are your works, great and powerful. You are great and powerful. You are, because you made us so beautiful. We're going to participate in the glory of God. We're going to participate in the power of God, the strength of God, the love of God. That's what he's saying. He wants us to be like him, not to be him. He breathed into dust his image and likeness through the breath of God, the Ruach of God. Now he's saying, I'm going to give more to my children than they ever would have accepted. So he gives us the book of heaven, and he says, this is the way and how I'm going to do it. Are you interested? And when we say yes, he says, go to the room, close the door, and read. This is for you. I know a number of people, they hear about the divine will, then they go to their pastor and they say, Father, what is this? They say, I've never heard of it. It doesn't sound like Christianity to me. Stay away from it. People go, okay. And that was it. This is the gift of gifts. God has done this. And he's offering this to us. All right, one more. Vine 17, 2:22:25. Tomorrow's 11:11. Tomorrow's the mirror. Paths are necessary. In order to facilitate the journey, they are the means in order for man to be able to make very often a little visit to his own celestial fatherland. Do you hear what's being said there? You can go to heaven. See, in the divine will, the main gift of the divine will is to bilocate. But it's not the bilocation of the saints. It's Jesus taking us where he wants to take us. And if you have a desire to visit heaven, it's Jesus in you desiring. very often, if you wish, a little visit to his own celestial fatherland. And knowing how beautiful his fatherland is, how happy one can live in the divine will, in the fatherland, to love it, and to yearn to take possession of it, and therefore to live detached from the exile of down here. These channels in the creature are necessary, so that very often she may rise to a true fatherland. She may know it and love it. And if the soul loves her celestial fatherland, if placing herself on the way within our divine will, she makes her little visits, this is the sign that the soul is walking along these paths. And who's that to happen? Now I hear people say, I'm living in the divine will. You are? How often do you go to heaven? Really? That's what Jesus is saying. This is the sign that you're living in the divine will, that you could go to heaven. How many have even thought of going to heaven? See, there's such great things that are coming. And all that Jesus is asking is that we give our fiat. That's all he's asking. That he will take care of it. So when you're about to sleep at night, I usually say, I want to visit heaven tonight. And I want to visit heaven. And God will really surprise you. I mean, it's his life. We belong to him. He bought our lives. Watch what he's going to do. This is so exciting. So we'll end there, and I have the next 15 minutes to come back. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.